Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and pen if you want to take notes throughout this show. As is always, we first look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. This week, I'd like to look at an article from SeekingAlpha.com. It's called Credit Card Crunch, Creating a New Generation of Subprime. We're here to point out a potential unforeseen consequence of credit cards as the next credit crunch. The developments of credit card companies raising interest rates, cutting credit lines, and closing inactive accounts altogether have many consequences. Firstly, and most obviously, consumer confidence and consumer spending will drop off. Secondly, as such, the economy as a whole will continue to suffer. Lastly, and most unforeseen, FICO, which is credit scores, most likely will be reduced, and millions of Americans will essentially be downgraded by way of their new lower credit scores, further inhibiting their access to future credit. Many people are focused on how these actions will affect consumer spending, and rightly so, but we also want to turn the focus to the decrease in consumer liquidity and how overly reliant consumers are on credit cards for cash flow management. Credit cards are the next credit crunch. First, some background. If you don't know who Meredith Whitney is, then shame on you. She's been one of the best analysts on all financial things, nailing the trouble of Citigroup when no one wanted to believe it. She is the dominatrix of doom, and she has recently put out a report on credit card companies stating that financial institutions could cut up to $2.7 trillion in lines of credit that have been typically available to consumers. The bulk of her message was that this could happen by 2010 and that it would severely dampen consumer spending. Not only would it affect consumers, but it would affect small businesses as well, which often rely on credit cards to actively finance their day-to-day activities. Companies like Bank of America, American Express, and Capital One have reported increase after increase in charge-offs and delinquencies in their credit card units. Obviously, rising unemployment and a terrible recession are only going to add to that. Head of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, has even flat-out admitted that credit cards are going to be a house of pain for his company in 2009 and possibly beyond. Using credit cards for everyday emergencies. Many American consumers were living on a debt binge by purchasing everything on credit cards and slowly paying them off over time, or not paying them off at all. America equals consumerism. You also have a second tier of consumers who would typically pay with cash or debit card who have now been struck by hard times. When push comes to shove and you've got to make the essential purchase of food, you fall on the credit card for emergencies. And with this economy, there are a lot of consumers pushing the big red emergency button. The problem here is that credit card companies are trying to fight off rampant delinquencies and non-payers by all means necessary. The best example of this would be American Express offering you $300 to pay off your bills and close your account to a limited number of accounts, that is. This is the deleveraging world. Markets are deleveraging, hedge funds are deleveraging, and consumers are deleveraging. The consumer card companies The credit card companies are no different. They simply took on too many customers, especially of poor credit quality, and offered everyone credit lines that were much larger than necessary. They are now correcting their errors. But as such, the consumer suffers, and their purchasing power now decreases exponentially. If you didn't have enough money for that flat-screen TV, you put it on your credit card with your $10,000 line of credit. But now that $10,000 line of credit might be chopped down to only $4,000, and you've already racked up a lot of charges on there. Where do you turn now? How do you purchase your sacred flat-screen TV? You can't. In the end, that might necessarily be such a bad thing, as it brings consumers back to a realistic level of spending. But that's a topic for a whole nother show. Available lines of credit were cut by almost $500 billion in quarter four of 2008. Whitney acknowledges that and says her estimate might be too conservative, given how fast credit lines are shrinking. In the U.S., there is about $5 trillion in credit card lines, and about $800 billion or so of that is being drawn upon right now. This affects overall consumer liquidity as consumers become even more squeezed in an already penny-pinching environment. And it's not the reduction in credit lines that affects things. Creditors are also shutting down credit card accounts completely due to inactivity, which, by the way, is their right. Additionally, they are raising interest rates on numerous accounts in an attempt to recoup whatever losses they can. Unfortunately, this move will put many borrowers even further underwater, decreasing the chances they can pay off their cards. But there is also something else that could be an unforeseen consequence, a nightmarish decrease in consumer credit ratings countrywide, that is, in their FICO scores. So what is a FICO score? In this article, they preface it with a disclaimer that they are by no means FICO experts, and FICO calculation is almost like a mad science. Personally, I can agree with that. We've simply done a ton of research and are presenting theoretical examples that could potentially lower credit scores of many consumers. If, however, you are unfamiliar with FICO scores, it is essentially your credit rating as a consumer, a number slapped across your forehead that tells creditors how likely you are to pay them back. The pure definition of a FICO score is a credit score developed by Fair Isaac and Company. Credit scoring is a method of determining the likelihood that credit users will pay their bills. Fair Isaac began its pioneering work with credit scoring in the late 1950s, and since then, scoring has become widely accepted by lenders as a reliable means of credit evaluation. A credit score attempts to condense a borrower's credit history into a single number. Fair Isaac and Company and the credit bureaus do not reveal how these scores are computed. The Federal Trade Commission has ruled this to be acceptable. Why do FICO scores matter? Quite literally, your FICO score is your access to credit. The FICO score ranges from 300 to 850. The higher the score, the better, with 850 being the ideal score. You can essentially break down the FICO score range into four tiers. Excellent credit is 700 to 850. People with this score will receive the best interest rates, aren't likely to default, and should have no problems accessing future credit. Tier 2, good decent credit, 600 to 699. People with this score will pretty much get a normal loan and usually won't be denied. Tier 3 is poor credit, 500 to 599. This is not the worst part to be on the ladder, but banks start to get you in their back pocket here, and credit availability could be an issue. And finally, Tier 4 is the dismal credit, 499 and below. Terms for people with these scores will be absolutely brutal if they can even get credit at all. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. And right now, we are looking a lot at FICO scores. just went over the four tiers of FICO scores and how they matter. When you look at FICO scores, you see that if you look closely, some big differences in the terms of interest rates offered on loans and overall availability of credit as you move from one FICO score category to another. And after all, don't forget that a sub-600 credit score was deemed as subprime by many. For a quick example, if you took a theoretical $200,000 30-year fixed mortgage based on the national average as of March 24th across the range of credit scores, what we see is at the top range, 760 to 850, people were paying 4.47% at a monthly payment of $1,010 a month, whereas the 640 to 659 score gave an APR of 5.513%, and the monthly rate was $1,137, and from 620 to 639, it's over 6% APR with a monthly rate of $1,207. And that's all in the excellent and good to decent group of FICO scores. Below that, it gets brutal. But even within that, $200 over a month for 360 months is a lot of cash, $72,000. You can only imagine what the APRs are going to be like on FICO scores lower than 620 as you fall into the fair and poor credit ratings. So not only does a lower FICO score mean you'll be paying a higher APR, but you'll also have less overall access to future credit, as lenders will be more inclined to turn you down in this environment of tightening credit standards. The next question is then why FICO scores will decrease. Now that you've gotten an overview of how a lower FICO score is bad news bears, let's examine why cutting consumer credit lines will essentially downgrade consumers' credit ratings. Your FICO score is determined by a myriad of factors. In effect, it is based on the following: making credit card payments on time, or all your credit reported payments on time, 35%, the capacity of your credit line used, 30%, the length of your credit history, 15%, the types of credit used, 10%, and finally, the past credit applications, 10%. So again, on-time payments, 35%, capacity used, 30%, length of credit history, 15%, types of credit used, 10%, and past credit applications, 10%. In short, the two biggest pieces of this pie are on-time payments, 35% of the FICO score, and capacity used, 30% of the FICO score. On-time payments are obviously in the hands of the consumer themselves. And as we know in the current economy, many pundits have already accounted for the fact that consumers will be delinquent on their bills or flat out won't pay them due to the economic hardships coming up, losing their job, etc. In fact, this is really the well-known part of the credit card crunch. But what hasn't really been talked about is the second biggest piece of the pie, the capacity used. Capacity used is a simple calculation of how much of your available credit lines you are using. This utilization ratio can be affected by two inputs: how much you're charging to your credit cards and how high your credit limits are. So a lower ratio of capacity used is obviously better. The lower your utilization ratio, the better your FICO score can be. You can achieve such a ratio by having either lower balances or increasing your available credit, or both. Now, as we've discussed previously, creditors will be cutting available credit lines all over the place and even closing down some accounts completely. This immediately increases a consumer's utilization ratio, even if their rate of spending remains constant. For example, let's say you spend $1,000 on your credit card each month and your available credit line is $10,000. Currently, your utilization ratio, which is, as I said, the capacity used, is only 10% each month. Now let's fast forward to the next month and you're still spending $1,000 on your credit card. Then the credit card company comes through and axes your available credit down to only $4,000. Even though your spending rate has stayed the same, your utilization rate is now 25%. So again, even though your spending was constant, the credit card company's actions have now just sent your utilization rate up 2.5 times. As such, that 30% of your FICO score determined by capacity used, the second largest component in computing your score, has just sent your score down, possibly even to a lower tier of ratings. Next, look at the same example when the consumer ramps up the amount they charge to their credit card due to emergency and economic hardship. Before they were spending $1,000 on $10,000 credit line, now their line has been chopped down to $4,000 and their spending has doubled to $2,000 due to hardship brought about by the recession. Purchases they would normally pay for in cash now have to be put on the emergency card. In this scenario, their utilization rate has now risen to 50%. Their utilization ratio has now increased fivefold. Such a large increase in capacity will undoubtedly affect their FICO score in a negative way. So while others may be focused on the amount charged input in the capacity used equation, this is focused on the available credit portion of the equation. The amount charged on a card is a variable input as it can fluctuate on any given month. Available credit, though, is more often than not static as consumers have their credit lines in place, with a few exceptions like opening new cards. The problem is, though, that credit card companies are no longer leaving credit availability relatively static. Creditors have already started cutting available credit, and they will only continue to do so as they struggle with rising charge-offs and delinquencies. This has already run rampant, as you read about so many people having had available credit lines clipped and have even had cards closed down altogether due to inactivity. So think about that for a second. If they close down a card completely, not only have you lost that available credit line, which affects the 30% of your FICO equation, but you've also lost a portion of the 15% length of credit history, part of the equation in the pie chart discussed previously. In fact, if it's your only card, it's all your history. So when they completely close an account, you now have negative readings on up to 45% of the inputs used to calculate your credit FICO score, rather than just the 30% in the theoretical scenarios just previously discussed. This is all on top of the negative scores many consumers will receive on the 35% allocation of the score for on-time payments, since many have missed payments and delinquencies are continually rising. If you take all these factors into consideration, the categories with the highest weighting in FICO scoring most likely have and will be negatively affected, leaving consumers with lower scores. Just how much lower could credit scores go? Ultimately, all we can do is guess. The degree of severity lies buried within the madness known as FICO. Our inclination is that it most likely will have a meaningful impact. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. I've been talking about FICO scores and the utilization ratios, or the capacity used, of one's credit limits. So what is the crux of the credit card crunch? It really is the utilization ratios, the capacity used, which will skyrocket now and thus negatively affect the second largest input, that 30%, in calculating consumers' FICO scores. Additionally, closed accounts could negatively affect up to 45% of the FICO calculation, possibly bringing down one score that much more. As such, FICO scores across the country will most likely decrease, landing many Americans in a credit tier below their current status, thus further restraining their access to credit. We will see that all this does matter. We have just seen the working off of the effects of a defaulting subprime borrower throughout the media. All those subprime mortgages which are in foreclosure now. If FICO scores decrease en masse, we could shift a whole new batch of American consumers from the fair tier to the subprime tier. Not to mention, the liquidity crunch consumers are facing becomes that much tighter as companies put the squeeze on consumers, increasing the probability that the consumers will default. So, to recap, credit card lines drying up is bad for the consumer because it takes away their liquidity and ability to spend, since they often use cards for cash flow management. This decrease in consumer spending is in turn obviously bad for the economy. Lastly, such a reduction in available credit could negatively impact consumers' credit ratings, which is their FICO scores, downgrading consumers to lower credit tiers, raising the interest rates they are charged, and decreasing their overall access to future credit. And all of this will increase the probability they will default. The creditors quite literally own consumers with bad credit. It's as simple as that. While things might not turn out to be as extreme as I've just laid out, there will nonetheless be consequences. In an environment where companies are being downgraded left and right, we're downgrading the credit ratings of the American consumer. Credit just got that much harder to procure. And that was from SeekingAlpha.com, an article called Credit Card Crunch, Creating a New Generation of Subprime. That was, of course, a lengthy discussion on FICO scores, Fair Isaac credit scores, because they are extraordinarily important in what people are conceiving about their own debt situation, and of course, based on that, how they can procure credit, what will happen with their credit report in the future, etc. Also recognize that a credit score is primarily based on credit report information, typically from one of the three major credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Income is not considered by the major credit bureaus when calculating a credit score. It's interesting to note, I know many people who are quite wealthy and have been wealthy for most of their adult life and had never ever really established credit lines. And as a result, they have poor FICO scores. When you would go into their credit reports, you would see, despite the fact that they have large wealth and a large income, they cannot get a credit line established for themselves. They can't get any loans. It's very, very strange, and yet that is what truly happens. But for most people, this is a small disability. Having a lot of money and not a solid FICO score, then not having a lot of money and having a decent FICO score or a good FICO score with the threat of it becoming bad in the current economy and with all of the dangers in the economy and our personal lives right now financially. Yet ultimately, this entire course is to try to allow us to get a financial foundation where we don't have to deal with debt in any substantial way. We are actually living life on a cash basis, and that is a much healthier long-term plan if that can happen. So my rich friends, our hats off to them. There's not really very much of a problem for them because they do not have any debt and they don't face any need to go into debt. But that's a great ideal for both those who are in substantial debt and those who are working out of debt. The FICO score still has an impact on your life. And FICO, in fact, is the most widely known type of credit score and the broadest used by the credit card companies and the credit reporting agencies. Not to mention all of the lenders who go to the credit reporting agencies to get information about the person seeking the loans. Credit bureaus also have their own credit scores, the Equifax's Score Power, Experience Plus Score, and TransUnion's Credit Score. And in addition, many large lenders, including the major credit card issuers, have developed their own proprietary scoring models, but FICO seems to be the leader and standard by which many, many borrowers get judged. And I think an important point is that you should recognize that you are entitled to one free credit report within a 12-month period from each of the three credit bureaus. However, you are not entitled to receive a free credit score that you would have to pay for. The three credit bureaus together run what is known as annualcreditreport.com. That's all one word, annualcreditreport.com, where users can get their free credit reports every year. Credit scores, however, are usually available as an add-on feature of the report, but there is a fee. Obtaining the free credit report is great. However, there are some disadvantages relative to alternate ways or payment ways to obtain your own report or score. For example, if the consumer disputes an item on a credit report pulled using the free system, the credit bureaus under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, FCRA, now have 45 days to investigate rather than 30 days to investigate, which of course is a 50% increase in the time. And also, if you do it online rather than having the credit report sent to you via mail, snail mail that is, there is the issue of waiving your court dispute rights and accepting arbitration as the methodology for resolving a dispute. And as we've discussed in the past, this could be particularly harmful for the consumer because the arbitration awards tend to find for the lenders. And part of the reason for this is, of course, that the judges, the arbitrators, are hired by the lenders. They're paid for by the lenders. And the truth of the matter is that if they want to continue to be paid and hired, they need to find in the favor of the creditor. It's hard to believe that that's the reality, but that is a very normal kind of situation in terms of the statistics. And as an important aside, you should note that FICO's client list covers more than 1,400 financial service providers, including 99 of the top 100 U.S. banks, and 49 of the top 50 global banks. And finally, just to go back to something I've discussed in the past, these ideas and companies that have credit repair and FICO repair kits, as you can see by what we discussed today, really can't fix your credit score because they can't fix the economy, nor do they control the credit card companies and major lenders. And as I said in the past, you can correct most of the problems on your credit report yourself, although that may take some time and determination. And if there is a very serious problem, you need to speak to an attorney to help you through it. But a final major point in our entire program and theory is that ultimately you're going to have to put your credit score out of your mind. What's most important is you need to stay focused on paying off your debts to the best of your ability, and don't waste your time and your money on repair kits, and don't spend a lot of time worrying about your score. Next week, we'll get back into purchasing the home that is right for you. But until then, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083. Or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa and beyond. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.